Shalom, church. Let's give the Lord a clap. Can we do that? And I think it's good to come to a celebration to celebrate the goodness of God. So very quickly, you know, look eyeball to eyeball someone next to you and say, you look good today. Can you do that? Amen. And those online, right, you can't do that. You look good today. So you need to come to join us in church here, right? Eventually, all right, we hope to see you here and we want to pray that this pandemic will be managed as quickly as possible. Let's continue to pray. And I also desire to open up Sunday morning as well. And so we do need volunteers. So I want to encourage you that, you know, I know people are taking their own time to be more, getting used to the whole environment. But I pray that even as many of you have already have your vaccination and your booster, you know, I think we are coming to the stage where we're entering the endemic. And I think we need to start considering that we need to get back to life, maybe in a new normal. And so some of you may need to start to serve. And so we are on a drive now to say, hey, come back and serve. So we need ushers, we need the Resonate team members, we need security members and those involved in the media part of the church. So I want to encourage you, you know, to sign up, dumc.my/serve, which is up on the screen for you. And also just to make a mention here that we have a full-time, we have some full-time position in church as well. Especially right now, the two positions that we're looking at is for a webmaster. A webmaster who can help us in our social media and our webpage, and a copywriter as well. So if you have that skills, all right, so look up our dumc.my on the vacant position that we have, and you, and that may just be a position for you as well. All right, so this weekend is a great weekend of AGW. We are celebrating our 42nd anniversary. And like I said last weekend, that is a weekend where we celebrate by giving. And that is an amazing posture of the people of God. And so on your way in, you should have already gotten your it's a brown envelope. And also you would have your list of, of the recipients that, you know, we are giving to. So in case you miss that, you can still pick it up later on, all right, at the on the way out as well. So don't worry about that one. But make sure you have a brown envelope if you're giving in person, all right? So later on, when you give out the brown envelope, so don't worry about that, okay? Don't panic right now, but we want to just pray and read the Word of God first, then we pray, all right? Why don't we all stand up? Let's lift up the Bible once again. I love to do this, to say that this is the Word of God, all right? So lift up our Bible, whether it's a soft Bible or hard copy Bible or no Bible or imaginary Bible, it's still okay, all right? So lift up the Bible and say, this is my Bible. Are you ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Now we're going to read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 9. And let's read it aloud together. All right? You're going to be up on the screen as well. Ready? One, two, go. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God bless the reading of his word. Holy Spirit, will you come and just fill our minds, God, with an understanding of your word in a fresh new way. We want to hear the great shepherd speaking, that your voice, God, will not only bring comfort, but encouragement and even correction. And we pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you once again, even for coming, and for those of you who are serving here. I know this is something of your sacrifice unto the Lord, making time to serve people, to love God, serve people, and make disciples. So here we are at the AGW weekend. And this is one weekend where we will talk about giving. It is an important subject. And so I want to share with you my personal heart in this area of giving. Let me just share that I'm excited, I'm thrilled about the generosity of God's people. Now, I remember preaching at a church some years ago. And right before I preached, right, like the person was making an announcement, he invited the treasurer of the church to come up to make a report. And that was sometime in that year, was sometime in November. And I could tell that when the treasurer walked up to the pulpit, she was a little bit uneasy. And then she flashed a slide and ran through the figures that was on the slide and did a little bit of projection because it was November. So she did the projection until December. And right at the bottom line was is a figure in red. Now, those of you in the finance line with no figure in red means that you will be at a deficit. So she made this announcement to the church. She said, "Church, we are at a big, big deficit by the end of the year. I'm flashing this figure up to encourage you to give. Thank you." Then she sat down, right? So when she went back to her seat, you could sense the silence in the hall, right? And being an invited speaker there, I was also feeling a little bit uneasy, and thankfully in that silence, the hymn was sung, all right? So that break the silence, and we sang the next hymn, and then I went up there to preach. What an introduction to my preaching. You know what? The title of my sermon that morning was Be Real. And the big idea was, it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to remain that way. Now, God has a great sense of humor, right? Why he would position my sermon in such a way that when the treasurer was sort of pleading with the congregation, church of people of God, give, right? And so they were very real. And it's okay not to be okay, but don't remain that way. And so I preached my heart out, all right, to say that, you know, God will supply also all our needs. Now, this is a great question every pastor, all right, I think should be asking. So this is the question here. How should a pastor think about his people's giving? Right? So ponder that question right now. I want you to put yourself in my position as a pastor, right? So how should a pastor think about his people's giving? Maybe in another church, this may be the question. Should a pastor think about his people's giving or not? Should he even think about it? And then maybe another church would be this question. Dare a pastor think about his people's giving or not? Does he even dare to think about it? So you may be wondering in your mind, so what is this pastor thinking about his members' giving? Now, when you visit a church long enough, so some of you may have visited some churches, and when you visit it long enough, you listen to how the pastor talk and how the leader or leaders of the church will talk about the subject, you can easily figure out what's going on in their mind in this matter. Now, we have always have two extremes. Right? Thankfully, there are many also in between. But the two extremes that we must watch out for is one extreme of, you've probably seen this in American TV, where the preacher will come on TV and he will say, "Give $100 and God will multiply it by 10 times. Right? Have you seen that kind of American preacher? And we know that immediately when we see things like that, you know, there's this deep uneasiness in us. Why? Because it's such a self-centered giving. I give because I can get back. I give so that I can get more in return. And we know that it's never, those of us who know the Word of God, is never the reason for giving. And worse still, in some of this extreme, they use what I call guilt manipulation. Now, what do I mean by guilt manipulation? Because people are reluctant to give, so they manipulate them by some kind of stewardship program. For example, and this is true, I've been to some churches as well, where they actually record the names of every person that has given their tithe and offering, and the sum that they give. I don't know whether you've been to churches like this before. I can imagine if you have been to a church like this before, if your name is not on it, you will feel so uncomfortable, right? So in that sense, there is some kind of, I'm not here to judge any church. What I'm saying is that you can imagine you being a member there, and after a while, you begin to realize that you are giving for the wrong reasons, right? And there are also certain times where you see churches encouraging people to give and say that if you give, you know, we'll put your name behind on the hymn book, right? Or we'll put your name behind on the chair or something like that. I'll give you a room with your name on it, right? Now, I'm not saying that these are wrong things, but it can encourage the wrong reason for giving. And so for some, they may organize events like raffles, bingos, sports tournament, thinking that people will only give if they get something in return. And I think you know what I mean here, that sometimes we can be in a very, very, very callous situation where we actually encourage people with a wrong reason for giving. So that's one big extreme. Okay, I'm not saying that a lot of churches are like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this is one extreme that you have. Then you swing to the other extreme. What's the other extreme? Is that there are people who have no discipline in giving at all. No discipline at all. See no desire to give. They say, well, God looks at my heart. How much I give is not really something God will quarrel with me, they will say. All right? And I live by grace. They even quote the word grace. I live by grace, not by works, so I'm fine. But actually, at the heart of it, all right, these people will lack the discipline of giving. They will only give by how much they put their hand into the pocket and say, this is how much I have, and they just give more to settle their own guilt within them as well. So I think you understand what I mean by these two extremes, but for people who don't have a discipline in giving, tell you what, Jesus talked a lot about giving, about money. In fact, he talked about money and wealth more than faith and prayer combined. Now, you may surprise you that Jesus talked about money and wealth more than faith and prayer combined together. Now, what is Jesus trying to drive at? 11 out of his 40 parables talks about money or the use of money to teach us spiritual truths. Now, so let me tell you, Jesus is very concerned about how we use our money, which is related, of course, therefore, to stewardship of his money and related to giving. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Right? Clear teaching there. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. An apostle, Paul, said this, for the love of money in itself is not wrong, it's neutral, but for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So here are some of the context behind giving. And later on, we're going to give towards AGW. I decided this year to sort of switch it around. Then I'm going to preach the word, then we give. Let's all be convicted by what God has to say. So let me tell you that as a senior pastor, so now giving you an insight to how my mind works, how my spirit works every week. There are three things that I monitor each week as a senior pastor. The first thing is celebration attendance. It means like this. Of course, in a pandemic situation, it's not just the in-person celebration, but also in the online celebration as well, where people come online. So that's the first thing that I will monitor because it says something about the church. The second thing I monitor is cell group attendance, which is a very critical, important number in DUMC. So from celebration attendance to cell group attendance, and the third thing that I look at every week is our offerings, and our tithes and offerings. So these are the three figures, and there's a reason why I do that. Now, this weekend, I'm going to talk about the whole area of giving, why I monitor it. The next weekend, I'll tell you about celebration attendance and cell group attendance, why I monitor them. So let me share with you about giving. in our case here is DUMC's giving. And as I talk about this, I want you to think about your giving to the Lord. And I want to share with you from that passage of scripture why it is so important. Now, a pastor should think about his members' giving simply because giving is a clear sign, a clear expression of who you are inside. I think some of you understand what I'm saying. How we give an expression of how we are walking with Jesus. For example, I can only speak from the perspective of a man here. Now, if you can get a man to part with his money willingly for a cause greater than himself, you have got into the heart of that man already, right? And because when you can get into his heart to give away something greater than himself, he has learned not to make money his idol. And you know for sure that person has been transformed from the inside out, right? So this one of the expression of true giving. So how we handle our money and possession is, it reveals our heart. It's an exact index to our true character within us. So how you earn your money, how you use your money, and how you spend it actually impacts your eternity. Because that is why Jesus talks so passionately about money, about stewardship of money, and how we use our money. Now, let me give an example. Remember the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18? It's such a familiar story to all of us. Remember, he came to Jesus and asked this question in verse 18. Luke chapter 18 here. Verse 18, it says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this is a wrong question. If you look at the context of that story, it's because he thinks he can inherit eternal life by being good. That means if he's good enough, then he can earn his way into heaven. So Jesus, you know, did not correct him immediately, but he replied this way in verse 19. He said, "Why do you call me good?" And Jesus answered, "No one is good." So trying to put into the mind of that young man, the young ruler, no one is good except God and God alone. And then this young man thinks that he's good enough to enter heaven. So subsequently, Jesus said this to him, all right, in verse 20. "You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, tick. You shall not murder, tick. You shall not steal, tick. And you shall not give false testimony, another tick. Honor your father and mother, tick." So Jesus asked him, these are the five commandments. And immediately this young ruler, rich young ruler says, "All these I've kept since I was a boy." Wow. I can imagine this young man here, even as he was listening to Jesus, tick, 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 all right, five at least, okay? "I think I am good enough. I kept this since I was a young boy." Now, so he was really thinking in his mind, wow, I'm not a bad person, actually, I'm quite good. Even the teacher, this rabbi, is telling me that I've kept all these things. But what I think he didn't really realize is that Jesus didn't keep going with the commandments. He only quoted five, only the 50%. Of the entire commandments. Then Jesus showed to him that you cannot be good enough. Then he goes to verse 22, and this is where he says, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." You see, if this man, this young man, is sincere in wanting to go to heaven, if he's really sincere, because the question he asked was, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, if he's really, really sincere in that, tell you what, if Jesus were to tell him to go and sell everything, then come and follow me, if he's sincere, he would truly go and sell everything and follow Jesus, if he is really sincere. So although he kept his five commandments, guess what? He could not keep the first one. And what is the first commandment? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, where it says, "You shall have no other gods before me." You shall have no other gods before me. And that part of the scripture, it goes on in that story, he went away very sad. So why was he so sad? Because he knew he couldn't do that. He knew that his love for money was more than his love for God. That is why he walked away very sad, because Jesus can see us through and through into our hearts today. And so this young man came thinking that he's such a good person, but yet knowing that his idol is actually his money. Now, before you all start to get depressed now and saying that, wow, you mean I really have to sell everything if I want to follow Jesus, all right? Now, this is not what Jesus is trying to say. Because if you look at another story, the story of Zacchaeus, for example, in the next chapter, Luke 19. Now, Zacchaeus, to give you the context, is a very crooked and very hated tax collector. Now, to him, Jesus said this, "Today, salvation has come to this house." The very question that the rich young ruler was asking, how can I inherit eternal life? Zacchaeus didn't even ask the question. But Jesus told him, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Now, note this. Jesus did not ask Zacchaeus to sell everything. He did not. Instead, Zacchaeus himself said, "I give," verse 8, "I give half of my possessions to the poor." Not everything. Half I give to the poor. "And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." So Jesus, remember, knows our heart true and true. So he saw Zacchaeus, and he knew immediately that because he has been transformed from the inside out, money is no longer an idol in the life of Zacchaeus. And that's why he proclaimed upon him, "Today, salvation has come to this house." You see what I'm trying to get here? It is the heart of your devotion to God. What is your idol? For some, it's money. For others, it could be, I don't know, it could be an immoral relationship that you're refusing to give up. That's become an idol. It could be a life ambition that you absolutely refuse to give that up when God has called you to do something. Or an ambition that you are clinging on so tightly that you do not want to die to that ambition. So the question is, are you willing to give it up? If Jesus were to tell you, because he knows your heart, he's going to challenge that. He's going to challenge you to give that up. Why? Because you cannot have an idol in your life. Only God is first. So an idol is anything that will make you place something more important than God. So for this young rich ruler, was his security? His security was an idol, was money. And that is why when we deal with the subject of money, it's a very uncomfortable subject. Right? And pastors sometimes hesitate to talk about this because he can be misunderstood. But the end of the day, it's not the money we're talking about. It is talking about the heart of the matter, which is our heart. So here's the big idea. Here's the big idea. The big idea is our giving matters to God. Our giving matters to God. Now, with that in mind, let me give you, therefore, the answer to my question. How should a pastor think about his people's giving? Right? From that passage. So the first answer to this is that giving is a reason for rejoicing. Right? Verse 10, it says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me." Now, Apostle Paul wrote this as he rejoiced over the Philippians who had not only come alongside him in the ministry, they gave to him to meet his need. Now, that wasn't the key reason, because they gave finances to him. His key reason was the fact that they renewed his concern for him, so he rejoiced. And so if you understand verses 11 to 13 for the passage we read earlier on, Apostle Paul was so clear. "Whether in plenty or need, I've learned to be contented. I have learned to trust God for my provision." See, the truth is that Apostle Paul has understood this. He said giving is not critical to the ministry. Now, you may be surprised to hear that. Giving is not critical to the ministry because God would have continued the ministry whether his people gave or not. Because it's God's ministry. He will make it happen. right? And so when Paul wrote that, you know, I thank God that you have renewed your concern for me. This renewed here is a word used for flowers that are blooming, for flowers that have shot up and grown green again. So the Philippine church has sort of renewed their desire to give towards the word of God. Now, if you know the history in the book of Acts, you will realize that the Philippians church were the church that Apostle Paul visited in Acts chapter 16. Remember Lydia, the purple cloth businesswoman, and the jailer from Acts 16? They were the forerunners of the church in Philippines. And over the years, do you know that they were the only church that financially and regularly supported Apostle Paul? And then something happened that they could not give towards Apostle Paul. We do not know what's the reason behind it. And all we know is this, that they wanted to help, but they could not. Because in verse 10, it says, indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. No opportunity. So it could be that they have a very difficult financial challenge, or they simply lost touch with Paul. Remember during those times, you don't have bank account that you can send to, right? You really had to track the person down in order to be able to help that person. But the point is that the moment the Philippians found out where Paul is, and he was actually under house arrest in Rome, they sent Epaphroditus immediately, not only to just send funds to him, but to help him physically. And that is why Apostle Paul rejoiced over the giving of God's people. Right? So giving is the reason for rejoicing. So that's why in verses 3 to 5, it says that, I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers and for all of you, I will always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul's joy was not because his need was met by the gift. It wasn't that. It was because he has learned to live contentedly, whether he has much or little. He is overjoyed because God's people gave. And Paul's repentance was on Christ, that Christ is more than enough. So how should I be thinking about, you know, the whole area of giving in DUMC? I should not be thinking about this, that people in DUMC, I rejoice because it helps us meet our bottom line, that we don't see any red numbers, and that all the needs of the church have been met. That's not the reason why I rejoice. The reason why I rejoice is simply because God's people give. Because remember, giving is an expression of our hearts, and when we learn to give, we learn to be dependent on God. And that is why, you know, in DUMC here, you know, God has impressed upon us to learn to walk in faith. Some of you may not know this. When we actually purchased this particular facility here, we only have 1 million in our building fund, only 1 million. But this project was going to cost us 40 million, 40 times. But with 1 million, we step out in faith, because this is what God has asked us to do. And today we are all enjoying this facility, by the way. Right? And this facility has been such an amazing blessing to us. But it was a journey of faith. And God people step up and they give. And that's the reason why we rejoice, because it reveals the heart of our people. And so in that sense, when God's people give, we can go. We can keep going for the least and the lost. That's the reason for rejoicing. So that's one reason for rejoicing. The second thing is that giving indicates participation in the ministry. Not only rejoice over the fact that people give, but it indicates that you want to participate in what God is doing. So here in verse 14, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. Only one church that's helping out Apostle Paul. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. So here's the second reason why a pastor rejoices over the giving of his people, because it just shows to us that you're not merely attending church. You want to be ministry partners. You want to be involved in what the church is doing because you are part of the church. So twice in verses 14 to 16, Apostle Paul talks about the Philippians sharing in the ministry. That word was used. They are partners with Apostle Paul. So Apostle Paul wasn't glad over the amount. In fact, we don't even know the amount that the Philippians church gave. All Paul was saying is that I'm so glad that you are in partnership with me. And church, this is the part where we are privileged. When you look at the list of the recipients of our AGW, I want you to know that I often get emails or texts from many of these people, and they would express their gratitude to say, thank you for your partnership. That's a common word used. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for believing in what we are doing. Thank you that, and I read a few times of this line, thank you that I don't feel alone in this difficult ministry. Thank you for praying and paying, right? So in that sense, as you look at the AGW list, I want you to know that these are not just organization and names. These are people, when they receive those sum of money that were pledged towards them, they feel encouraged. They feel that someone is walking alongside them. And you know what? During this pandemic in the last 2 years, I have received a lot more appeals for help because many of these organizations have their funds stopped because of whatever reasons that their sponsors have not been able to give towards them. I remember sharing with you that in the probably middle of last year, I mentioned that there was one Orang Asli hostel that wrote to us in the early part of last year to say that, by May, we will have run out of money. We have nowhere sustaining this hostel of quite a number of students there, Orang Asli students, and if no help comes, we have to really close shop. And DUMC stepped in, and we allowed it to run until the end of last year. In fact, this year, we're going to continue to help them in this. So, church, you are involved in that. Now, here's one thing I want to say to all of us again. Because God is giving us the privilege to share in it. God would have met the need of that organization. Right? Because God, our God, will supply all our needs. All He's saying to us is that, DUMC, would you want to have the privilege of sharing many of these things that are happening from around the world? And let me tell you that having been a pastor now here for 28 years in DUMC, it's amazing to see the generosity of God's people. Remember the few times I stood up here and I had this privilege of saying to all of you, church, we have enough. Enough. Now direct our giving now to another portion of our projects. But for AGW, we have enough. And that's a privilege every pastor has, to be able to say, thank you, church, for giving. So, first is the reason for rejoicing. Giving is a reason for rejoicing. It indicates participation in ministry. And thirdly, lastly, giving, listen to this carefully, is an evidence of spiritual growth. Because God is dealing with our heart. So verse 17 says this, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. Now, what does credited to your account mean? Now, in financial terms, we all understand this, right? In financial terms, it simply means that there's a return to your investment. And hence, a profit is credited into your account. That means your investment grows. But in spiritual terms, what does it mean? It'll be credited to your account. It means there are spiritual rewards. It's for our good that we learn to invest rightly into God's kingdom. And these are fragrant offerings to the Lord, something that has eternal values. So when the pandemic hits us, we know pandemic has caused lots of suffering, the toll on sufferings, and even death. But yet, at the same time, the pandemic reveals the heart of the church. And this is where in the last 2 years, as I received all these appeals from many organizations, some church could not even pay their monthly rent. And God has used us in that sense. All right, we don't shout about it, we don't publicize this, but quietly behind the scenes, we come alongside many of these organizations and churches and peoples who need all this help to say, we step in and we helped you. Why? Simply because God's people have given. Isn't that amazing? So for example, in the year 2020, everybody talks about the downturn. So true enough, there is a downturn, all right, even in DUMC. All right, in year 2020, from 2019 to 2020, there was a 13% drop in income. 13%, right? And by the way, that's common. You ask any church pastor, they will tell you the drop is even more. But in DUMC, there was a 13% drop. And having known this as a church, all right, among the staff, among the leaders, we readjusted our budget, our budgeted expenses, and we dropped it by 12% so that it will match the income. And tell you what, at the end of year 2020, we still have a surplus of about 700,000 ringgit. That's our surplus, right? Because God's people are very careful and we still give and give and give, but yet there is a surplus. And then come year 2021, last year, right, our income went up by 5%, right? Because I think economic situation maybe have improved by 5%. And we also know that in our AGW, we went beyond 5.5 million. It shows to us that in the year 2021, God's people were generous. But at the end of 2021, which has just happened, right, last month, you know what our surplus is? Our surplus, after all the giving out, our surplus was 2.1 million. Which means we have more to give away. It's amazing. And that tells me that our people are still giving irrespective. Yeah, give the Lord a clap for that. All right. Our people are still giving. And tell you what, let me share with you my honest heart here. When pandemic hits, because in the past, we always have difficulty getting people to go online. So in my mind, when March, in the middle of March, I asked myself, so how are people going to give when there are no offering bags going around? You know what? The moment pandemic hits, the lockdown came, everyone went online. 100% giving. Now, this is the exciting part for me. There were no more offering bags going around to sort of say, hey, give, right? There's no symbolic way of saying to you, give. Whether you give or not, nobody knows. Because it's the quietness of your own room, in your own office, in your privacy, nobody knows whether you give or not. But tell you what, in the last 2 years, that's what I say, I monitor it every week. Do you know that the giving, although it's a 12% drop, in year 2020, it was consistent across, meaning that our people gave whether there was offering back coming around or not. And then when in 2021, the offering went up by 5%, and it's the same consistent pattern. Our people do not need an offering back to give. Now, what does it tell me? Simple conclusion. Maybe the next time we come back in person, let's not have offering back anymore. Let's just leave a box behind, or maybe go online and continue giving. But I know some diehards will say, Pastor, there's nothing like taking your money and putting it in an offering bag. I understand all that, all right? But that's not the issue. The issue is the heart of our people. They know they are giving to God because nobody sees. Only God sees. And that is why I have reason to rejoice. Because giving expresses our true character within. Of course, there are many things that will express that. But giving is one big part of our life. And so we have learned to realize that our tithes belong to God. It belongs to Him. Right? And beyond tithe is our offering. And many of you, I know you have gone given beyond tithe and beyond your tithe and even given as an offering. So money is neutral. It's how we steward it. Now, the founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, says this, and this is a dictum that you're all very familiar with this. Earn all you can, right? Save all you can, and give all you can. Now, he preached this in a sermon in 1789, many years ago, in the sermon titled, The Use of Money. And he said that if Methodists would give all they can, then all would have enough. Right? All would have enough. There would be no poor people in the church. There are no poor people even in the surrounding where the church is. So John Wesley's admonition to the Methodists was that he didn't want to religiously manipulate the people, but rather he appealed to them for their generosity. He appealed to them for compassion for the poor and for the needy. And this is what he said. Money is an excellent gift of God, answering the noblest ends in the hands of his children. It is food for the hungry, drink for the thirsty, and raiment. Raiment means clothing for the naked. So here's a big idea again. Our giving matters to God. And that is why once a year in AGW, we want to collect and pledge. And this one weekend, we want to give it all away to the five continents of the world. We have been doing that for many years now. From the day that UMC started, we want to continue this amazing tradition, go places where we can't go, but our funds go on our behalf. Now, let me show you an infographics here of our AGW. Can I have that up on the screen? Our infographic shows that, you know, our giving, we have been able to track it in the last 20 years, 21 years, where we track it and we begin to see that, you know, God's people begin to increase in their generosity. Why? Because they believe in the cause that we are challenging you with. And as I add up the number, I was amazed. I was amazed. Can I have just the next part here? When you add it all up, you know, we would have targeted 70 million as the amount that we want to give. But we collected 75 million in the last 21 years, and we have given out 76 million. And that's the amount of money, all right? Let's give the Lord a clap for that. All right. Just one example before we give, all right, is this organization called El Shaddai, based in Klang. Now, El Shaddai is a Christian-based humanitarian NGO that reaches out to the displaced, to the marginalized community of various nationalities through compassionate services and social work. So its current work involves refugee, asylum seeker, and other immigrant communities in Malaysia. It's amazing work they are doing, all right? And they have learning centers which are really helping family rebuild their lives with dignity. And so last year, part of our AGW goes towards the El Shaddai Refugee Learning Centers. They conduct classes for many of them who do not have this opportunity. So we want to respond. This is just one of the many stories that we have. What's our target this year? 6 million, right? And we're going to trust that God will supply these people in the list, the needs that they have. So I want you to be ready right now. I'm sure many of you have prayed. I've challenged you to pray. Now, some of you can go online to do it. I know maybe most of you will go online to do it. In fact, 91% of people go online to do it. But those of you here who are here physically in person, you know, I want to encourage you, if you have already not done it online, you can do it physically as well. But let me give you five core principles, all right, of giving in DUMC so that you understand where we come from, so no one misunderstands us. The five simple principles are, in DUMC, you will recognize by now, if you've been here long enough, in DUMC, we don't have fundraising campaigns. We don't do that. Right? You never see us coming up and do a campaign to raise funds. All we tell you is, these are the needs. These are the people that we have prayed through, and we want us to rise up and to give. There will be no fundraising campaign. Nothing to sort of, in that sense, to encourage you. All right? To give. We just trust that the Holy Spirit will move you to give. Number two, principle is, nobody is made to feel guilty that they have not given enough. Right? That is not our purpose, to make anyone feel guilty even if not given enough. So relax, okay? All right? It's between you and the Lord, because God will work through your heart. Then the third principle is this. Even if you don't give a single cent, you are still welcome. Right? That's an important principle, because we believe in how God will work in your heart. So we leave that between you and the Lord. But you're always welcome here, even if you don't give a cent. Then the fourth one is simply this, all right? There's no special appeal to the wealthy, because every cent given from the heart is important to God, even from those who have not much to give. Right? But we have some, having said that, we have some incredible people here in our midst here who will want to give anonymously, all right? And I know that. And I really thank God for many of them. And they also know the principle of giving, that they want to give from their heart. So I thank God for many of these people in UMC, but this is the principle that we hold, is that we don't go and appeal to people who are wealthier than others. We do not want to give the message that, you know, those who have less to give are less important than the people who can give more. That's never the principle in the UMC. And finally, this is our important principle: pray in faith to believe God will meet all our needs. Amen? Right? So these are five simple principles. And as we, you know, think about our giving, if you have your brown envelope, right, within it are two sheets of slip in there, one green and one white. All right. The one in white is the one that if you're pledging, all right, the one in white is the one that you will drop it into the box so that we can tally it up. All right. Those of you online, and even here in person, if you want to go online, you can do the same thing as well. It's all on our website. You can go online and do it. Otherwise, those who are here in person, I want to encourage you, if you want to do it in person, you can do that, or you can do it online while you're seated there as well. So we don't want to miss out anyone. And those, you know, back online, the only way you can do it is actually online, all right? So it will be flashed up on the screen as well for your pledge. Now, I want to have the pastors to come up to the stage right now with the boxes, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God, in the coming few weeks here, all right, if you're not ready today, you can still go back and you pray about this, but I believe that God will impress upon your heart what you need to do. Now, anyone here who needs a brown envelope, anyone who needs a brown envelope, if you need one, just raise your hands. You have the right here, quickly, all right? The list, you can always collect it on the way out, so don't worry too much about the list of the recipients. But envelope, just put your hand up if you need a brown envelope. Just give you a few more seconds. Okay, why don't we all stand, right, and just lift our envelopes to the Lord. And those who are giving, you know, online, you can, I suppose, in that sense, lift up your mobile phone, okay? Lift it up, and we're going to pray. And many of you have already prayed, but I'm going to say that, God, will you increase our generosity in our own hearts here? Because, Lord, you have encouraged us that we can rejoice over God's, the giving of God's people. So, Holy Spirit, even as we hold up this brown envelope to God, symbolically, it reminds us every gift that we have in our lives are from you. We are called to be stewards of the gift that you're given. And so as you impress upon our hearts, just as you have been for many years in DUMC, Father, may we learn to give out of a heart that has been blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's the one who has given His all. And how much more, Lord, we need to learn to give with a generous heart. And to believe that, God, the more we give, Lord, the more blessings in our heart, the joy, the pleasure of God, that we feel that we can be useful for the kingdom. So I pray, Lord, that even as we have that amount in our mind, it's not about whether it's a big sum or a small sum, but what you have impressed upon our heart. And some of us wants to walk out in faith to believe that you will provide that sum. Father, whatever that is, God, you know our hearts, and may our giving, God, bring pleasure to you. And so for that, we thank you. And so, Lord, will you move, Lord, right now, whether here in person or online, God, as our people watch this, Lord, move in a powerful way. And all God's children say, amen, amen. So I want the pastors to move on to their position right now, and then you follow the instruction of the ushers. And those online right now, you can do it very quickly with your mobile phone or your computer. And I'm going to get the worship team to lead us in worship. You may be seated until when you're ready to give, all right? And so we continue to worship, then I'll come right back up again and we're going to pray, right? And then I'm going to close.
Jesus, our redemption, our salvation is in His blood. Jesus, light of heaven, friend forever, His kingdom come. We will sing, we will dance to the earth that goes to heavens. Sing His praise to see the other side. We belong to the light when the night is at its darkest. Just hold on, for the dawn will soon arrive. Can you feel the winds are changing? There's a new day on the rise, and the atmosphere is breaking as a new world comes to life. So we will sing, we will dance to the earth that goes to heavens. Sing His praise to see the other side.
Time we somehow come up with giving dance, you know, and we're going to dance up to give, and it will be really amazing because God says God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. All right, and so we have given generously, and I believe that in the days to come, God's going to impress upon your heart, and you're going to give more than we ever need because that's the kind of God that we have. And I always say, give me the privilege of coming up here and say, we have more than enough. That's an amazing thing because we have an amazing God, all right? So let's entrust, all right? Stretch your hands to the front and trust all this. This is symbolic to those doing it online as well. Symbolically, I want to say that, God, this is the giving from our hearts. Lord, use it, Lord, for the extension of your kingdom. So Holy Spirit, we want to pray that, Lord, even as you impress upon our hearts the giving of God's people, Lord, these are sacrifices, Lord, of our lives. Many have worked hard. Many, God, have done all they can in their life, but yet they're able to give beyond, Lord, what they can imagine because you are that kind of a God. And so we pray, Lord, by faith, that many of these people represented in many of these organizations and churches and individuals, Lord, when they receive these funds, they will know that they are not alone. They will know that, God, you will supply all their needs. And they will know, God, that there's a God who truly loves them. And that's our desire, God. So for that, we thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being partners, God, with you in the work of ministry, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. And all God's children say, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, give the Lord a clap. Thank you, Pastor. Let's give the Lord a clap. All right. So I want to end in a time of benediction right now. But I want to pray for a blessing for all of us. Those of you who need prayer, you can, those online, you can go to request prayer. And those of you here in person, if you need us to pray for you, you can come up to the front as well later on when I close in benediction. But whatever it is, I pray that God will give you the joy of giving. Not only just in terms of, the physical expression through money and things, but also through our hearts, that we learn to be giving people. So let's raise our hands to the Lord. God, we thank you again for this reminder that, Lord, we can be useful for the kingdom. And so, Lord, bless my brothers and sisters here, even the coming week. Show them, Lord, how faithful you are to them. Many of them, Lord, have a prayer in their hearts. But I pray, Lord, in the coming weeks ahead of them, God, you show up. I know you will, God, because of their earnest prayer to be totally dependent on you. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. See you next weekend.